myself. Now have I done a good day's work? You peers continue this United League. I every day expect an embassage from my Redeemer to redeem me hence, and more in peace my soul shall part to heaven since I have made my friend at peace on earth. Rivers and Hastings, take each other's hand. Dissemble not your hatred. Swear your love.
By heaven, my soul is purged from grudging hate, and with my hand I seal my true heart's love.
So thrive I, as I truly swear the like.
Take heed you dally not before your king, lest he that is the supreme king of kings confound your hidden falsehood and award either of you to be the other's end.
So prosper I, as I swear perfect love.
And I, as I love Hastings with my heart.
Yourself, madam, is not exempt from this. Nor you, son Dorset. Buckingham, nor you. You have been factious one against the other. Wife, love Lord Hastings. Let him kiss your hand, and what you do, do it unfeignedly.
There, Hastings. I will never more remember our former hatred. So thrive I and mine.
Dorset, embrace him. Hastings, love Lord Marquis.
This interchange of love, I here protest, upon my part shall be inviolable.
And so swear I.
Now, princely Buckingham, seal thou this league with thy embracements to my wife's allies, and make me happy in your unity.
Whenever Buckingham doth turn his hate upon your grace, but with all duteous love doth cherish you and yours, God punish me with hating those where I expect most love, when I have most need to employ a friend. And most assuredly that he is a friend, deep, hollow, treacherous, and full of guile be he unto me. This do I beg of God, when I am cold in love to you or yours.
Oh, a pleasing cordial, Prince de Buckingham, is this thy vow unto my sickly heart. Oh, I want it now, our brother Gloucester here, to make the blessed period of this peace.
And in good time here comes Sir Richard Ratcliffe and the Duke.
Good morrow to my sovereign king and queen, and princely peers, a happy time of day.
Happy indeed, as we have spent the day. Gloucester. We have done deeds of charity, made peace of enmity, fair love of hate between these swelling, wrong-incensed peers.
A blessed labor, my most sovereign lord. Among this princely heap, if any here, by false intelligence or wrong surmise, hold me a foe, if I unwittingly, or in my rage, have aught committed that is hardly borne by any in this presence, I desire to reconcile me to his friendly peace. 'Tis death to me to be at enmity. I hate it, and desire all good men's love. First, madam, I entreat true peace of you, which I will purchase with my duteous service. Of you, my noble cousin Buckingham, if ever any grudge were lodged between us. Of you, Lord Rivers, and Lord Grey, of you, that all without desert have frowned on me. Dukes, earls, lords, gentlemen, indeed of all. I do not know that Englishman alive with whom my soul is any jot at odds more than the infant that is born tonight. I thank my God for my humility.
A holy day shall this be kept hereafter. I would to God all strifes were well compounded. My sovereign lord, I do beseech your highness to take our brother Clarence to your grace.
Why, madam, have I offered love for this? To be so flouted in this royal presence. Who knows not that the gentle duke is dead? You do him injury to scorn his course.
Who knows not he is dead? Who knows he is?
All seeing heaven, what a world is this?
Look, I surpale Lord Dorset as the rest.
Ay, my good lord. And no man in the presence but his red colour hath forsook his cheeks.
Is Clarence dead? The order was reversed.
But he, poor man, by your first order died, and that a winged Mercury did bear. Some tardy cripple bore the countermand that came too lag to see him buried. God grant that some less noble and less loyal, nearer in bloody thoughts but not in blood, deserve not worse than wretched Clarence did, and yet go current from suspicion.
A boon, my sovereign, for my service done.
I pray thee, priest, my soul is full of sorrow.
I will not rise unless your highness hear me.
And say at once, what is it thou demandst?
The forfeit, sovereign, of my servant's life, who slew today a riotous gentleman lately attendant on the Duke of Norfolk.
Have I tongue to doom my brother's death? And shall that tongue give pardon to a slave? I have not killed no man. His fault was thought. Yet his punishment was bitter death. Oh, shoot to me for him! Oh, in my wrath, kneeled at my feet and bade me be advised. Who spoke of brotherhood? Who spoke of love? Who told me how the poor soul did forsake the mighty Warwick and did fight for me? Who told me in the field at Tewkesbury, when Oxford had me down, he rescued me and said, dear brother, live and be a king. Who told me when we both lay in the field, frozen almost to death, how he did lap me even in his garments, and did give himself all thin and naked to the numb cold night? All this from my remembrance, brutish wrath sinfully plucked. And not a man of you had so much grace to put it in my mind. Go between your carters or your waiting vassals of the drunken slaughter, or you're shaking on your knees for pardon, pardon. And I, unjustly too, must grant it you. But for my brother, not a man would speak. Nor I, ungracious, speak unto myself or him, poor soul. The proudest of you all have been beholding to him in his life, yet none of you would once beg for his life. Oh, God. I fear thy justice will take hold on me and you and mine and yours for this. Come, Hastings. Help me to my closet. Oh, poor Clarence.
This is the fruits of rashness. Marked you not how that the guilty kindred of the Queen looked pale when they did hear of Clarence's death? Oh, they did urge it still unto the King. God will revenge it. Come, lords, will you go to comfort Edward with our company?
We wait upon your grace.
No, boy.
Why do you weep so oft, and beat your breast, and cry, oh, Clarence, my unhappy son?
Why do you look on us, and shake your head, and call us orphans, wretches, castaways, if that our noble father were alive?
My pretty cousins, you mistake me both. I do lament the sickness of the king, as loath to lose him, not your father's death.
Pray it were lost sorrow to wail one that's lost.
Then you conclude, my grandam. He is dead. The king, mine uncle, is to blame for it. God will revenge it, whom I will importune with earnest prayers, all to that effect.
And so will I.
Peace, children, peace. The king doth love you well. Incapable and shallow innocence, you cannot guess who caused your father's death.
Grandam, we can. For my good uncle Gloucester told me the king, provoked to it by the queen, devised impeachments to imprison him. And when my uncle told me so, he wept and pitied me, kindly kissed my cheek, bade me rely on him as on my father, that he would love me dearly as a child.
Oh, that deceit should steal such gentle shape and with a virtuous visor hide deep vice. He is my son, aye, and herein my shame. Yet from my dogs he drew not this deceit.
Think you my uncle dissemble, grandam?
Aye, boy.
I cannot think it. What noise is this?
Oh, who shall hinder me to wail and weep, to chide my fortune and torment myself? I'll join with black despair against my soul and to myself become an enemy.
What means this scene of rude impatience?
To make an act of tragic violence. Edward, my lord, thy son, our king, is dead. Why grow the branches when the root is gone? Why wither not the leaves that want their sap? If you will live, lament. If die, be brief, that our swift-winged souls may catch the king's. Or like obedient subjects, follow him to his new kingdom of ne'er-changing night.
Oh, so much interest have I in thy sorrow as I had title in thy noble husband. I have bewept a worthy husband's death and lived with looking on his images. But now two mirrors of his princely semblance are cracked in pieces by malignant death. And I, for comfort, have but one false glass that grieves me when I see my shame in him. Thou art a widow, yet thou art a mother, and hast the comfort of thy children left. But death hath snatched my husband from mine arms and plucked two crutches from my feeble hands. Clarence and Edward, oh, what cause have I, thine being but a moiety of my moan, to overgo thy woes and drown thy cries?
Ah, aunt, you wept not for our father's death. How can we aid you with our kindred tears?
Our fatherless distress was left unmoaned. Your widow, Jolla, likewise be unwept.
Give me no help in lamentation. I am not barren to bring forth complaints. All springs reduce their current to mine eyes, that I, being governed by the watery moon, may send forth plenteous tears to drown the world. Ah, for my husband, for my dear Lord Edward.
Ah, for our father, for our dear Lord Clarence.
Alas, for both. Both mine, Edward and Clarence.
What stay had I but Edward, and he's gone.
What stay had we but Clarence, and he's gone.
What stays had I but they, and they are gone.
Was never widow had so dear a loss.
Never orphans had so dear a loss.
Was never mother had so dear a loss. Alas, I am the mother of these griefs. Their woes are parceled. Mine is general. She for an Edward weeps, and so do I. I for a Clarence weep, so doth not she. These babes for Clarence weep, and so do I. I for an Edward weep, so do not they. Alas, you three, on me threefold distressed, pour all your tears. I am your sorrow's nurse, and I will pamper it with lamentation.
Comfort, dear mother. God is much displeased that you take with unthankfulness his doing. In common worldly things, 'tis called ungrateful, with dull unwillingness to repent, which with a bounteous hand was kindly lent. Much more to be thus opposite with heaven, for it requires the royal debt it lent you.
Madam, bethink you like a careful mother of the young prince your son. Send straight for him, let him be crowned. In him your comfort lives. Drown desperate sorrow in dead Edward's grave, and plant your joys in living Edward's throne.
Sister, have comfort. All of us have cause to wail the dimming of our shining star, but none can help our harms by wailing them. Madam, my mother, I do cry in mercy I did not see your grace. Humbly on my knee I crave your blessing.
God bless thee and put meekness in thy breast, love, charity, obedience, and true duty.
Amen. And make me die a good old man, that is the butt end of a mother's blessing. A marvel at her grace did leave it out.
You cloudy princes and heart-sorrowing peers that bear this heavy, mutual load of moan, now cheer each other in each other's love. Though we have spent our harvest of this king, we are to reap the harvest of his son. The broken rancor of your high-swollen hates, the lately splintered, knit and joined together, must gently be preserved, cherished and kept. It seemeth good that with some little train, forthwith from Ludlow, the young prince be fet hither to London to be crowned our king.
Why with some little train, my lord of Buckingham?
Marry, my lord, lest by a multitude the new healed wound of malice should break out, which would be so much the more dangerous by how much the estate is green and yet ungoverned, where every horse bears his commanding rein and may direct his course as please himself. As well the fear of harm as harm apparent, in my opinion, ought to be prevented.
I hope the king made peace with all of us, and the compact is firm and true in me.
And so in me. And so I think in all. Yet, since it is but green, it should be put to no apparent likelihood of breach, which haply by much company might be urged. Therefore I say with noble Buckingham that it is meet so few should fetch the prince.
And so say I.
Then be it so. And go we to determine who they shall be that straight shall post to Ludlow. Madam, and you, my sister, will you go to give your censures in this business?
With all our hearts.
Now, my lord, whoever journeys to the prince, for God's sake, let not us two stay at home. For, by the way, our sought occasion is indexed to the story we late talked of. To part the queen's proud kindred from the prince.
My other self, my counsel's consistory, my oracle, my prophet, my dear cousin, I, as a child, will go by thy direction. Toward Ludlow, then, for we'll not stay behind.
Tomorrow, neighbour. Whither away so fast?
I promise you, I scarcely know myself. Hear you the news abroad?
Yes, the king is dead.
Oh, ill news by our lady seldom comes the better. I fear it will prove a giddy world.
Neighbours, Godspeed.
Give you good morrow, sir.
Does the news hold of good King Edward's death?
I say it is too true, God help the while.
Then, masters, look to see a troublous world.
No. By God's good grace, his son shall reign.
Woe to that land that's governed by a child.
Look, in him there is a hope of government, which, in his knowledge, counsel under him,
and in his full and ripened years himself. No doubt shall then, and till then, govern well.
So stood the state when Henry VI was crowned in Paris, but at 9 months old.
Stood the state so? No, no, good friends, God what? For then this land was famously enriched with politic grave counsel. Then the king had virtuous uncles to protect his grace.
Why so I this, both by his father and mother?
The better it were they all came by his father. Or by his father there were none at all. For emulation, who shall now be nearest, will touch us all too near, if God prevent not. Oh, full of danger is the Duke of Gloucester. And the Queen's sons and brothers, ought and proud. And were they to be ruled and not to rule, this sickly land might solace us before.
Come, come. We fear the worst. All will be well.
When clouds are seen, wise men put on their cloaks. When great leaves fall, then winter is at hand. When the sun sets, who doth not look for night? Untimely storms makes men expect a dearth. All may be well, but if God saw it so, there's more than we deserve or I expect.
Truly, the hearts of men are full of fear. You cannot reason almost with a man that looks not heavily and full of dread.
Before the days of change, still is it so. By a divine instinct, men's minds mistrust ensue in danger. As by proof we see the water swirl before a boisterous storm. They leave it all to God. Whither away?
Mary, I was sent for to the justices.
Yeah, so was I.
I'll bear your company.
Last night, I hear, they lay at Stony Stratford. And at Northampton, they do rest tonight. Tomorrow or next day, they will be here.
I long with all my heart to see the prince. I hope he is much grown since last I saw him.
But I hear no. They say my son of York hath almost overtaken him in his growth.
Aye, mother, but I would not have it so.
Why, my good cousin, it is good to grow.
Grandam, one night as we did sit at supper, my uncle Rivers talked how I did grow more than my brother. I, quoth my uncle Gloucester, small herbs have grace, great weeds do grow apace. And since methinks I would not grow so fast, because sweet flowers are slow and weeds make haste.
Good faith, good faith. The saying did not hold in him that did object the same to thee. He was the wretchedest thing when he was young. So long a growing and so leisurely that if his rule were true, he should be gracious.
And so no doubt he is, my gracious madam.
I hope he is, but yet let mothers doubt.
Now, by my troth, if I had been remembered, I could have given my uncle's grace a flout to touch his growth nearer than he touched mine.
How, my young York, I prithee, let me hear it.
Marry, they say my uncle grew so fast that he could gnaw a crust at 2 hours old. 'Twas full 2 years or I could get a tooth. Grandam, this would have been a biting jest.
I prithee, pretty York, who told thee this?
Grandam, his nurse.
His nurse? Why, she was dead ere thou was born.
If 'twere not she, I cannot tell who told me.
Parlous boy, go to, you are too shrewd.
Good madam, be not angry with the child.
Pitchers have ears.
Here is a messenger. What news?
Such news, my lord, as grieves me to report.
How doth the prince?
Well, madam, and in health.
What is thy news?
Lord Rivers and Lord Grey are sent to Pomfret, and with them Sir Thomas Vaughan, prisoners.
Who hath committed them?
The mighty Dukes Gloucester and Buckingham.
For what offence?
And some of all I can I have disclosed. Why or for what the nobles were committed is all unknown to me, my gracious lord.
I see the ruin of my house. The tiger now hath seized the gentle hind. Insulting tyranny begins to jut upon the innocent and aweless throne. Welcome destruction, blood, and massacre. I see as in a map the end of all.
Accursed and unquiet wrangling days, how many of you have mine eyes beheld? My husband lost his life to get the crown. And often up and down my sons were tossed for me to joy and weep their gain and loss, and being seated, and domestic broils clean overblown, themselves, the conquerors, make war upon themselves. Brother to brother, blood to blood, self against self. Oh, preposterous and frantic outrage, end thy damned spleen, or let me die to look on earth no more.
Come. Come, my boy. We will to sanctuary. Madam, farewell.
Stay. I will go with you.
You have no cause.
My gracious lady, go, and thither bear your treasure and your goods. For my part, I'll resign unto your grace the seal I keep. And so betide to me as well I tender you and all of yours. Go. I'll conduct you to the sanctuary.